Well, good to see you this morning. Be able to be together, be able to worship God, to turn to His Word, and to be instructed by His will. I invite you to get a Bible and join us as we're going to be studying, as noted, about forgiveness, what it looks like, and looking at it from God's perspective, from what God has to say. If you're here this morning and you need God's forgiveness, and we all need God's forgiveness because all have sinned, so at some point in our lives we've needed forgiveness or we've received it, Or as yet we need to come to Him to obtain it. Whichever the case, if you're still lost in your sin, we encourage you to become a child of God today, to be saved from the sins, as we've sung, from your sins, as we sang together. It is the blood of Christ. It is the sacrifice that He has made on behalf of us, each one of us, for our sake, that we might be saved. If you'll come today and in faith repent and be baptized, the Lord will wash away your sins, forgive you in the blood of the Lamb. If you're a Christian and you need God's forgiveness of sin in your life, then He also, as we read together from Psalm 103, is merciful. He is ready and willing and anxious to forgive our sins against Him. There is really no greater blessing than the fact that God forgives us. God, in His great love and mercy, as an extension of His favor and His grace toward us, forgives our sins against Him. Psalm 33, David wrote about this himself, as I receiving that forgiveness, again, something that we all need in our lives. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So, they're really blessed is the individual whom it says God takes away his transgressions. God removes, conceals the debt. He removes the debt that we owe. No longer owed. Freed from the weight of sin. It has been lifted up, taken away. There is no greater blessing. There is no greater grace and mercy from God Himself than that He forgives us our sins against Him. In Romans 5, 8 and 9, it says, in speaking of the great grace and love of God, it says, God commends His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in verse 9, "Much more then, now having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So God's great love gives the sacrifice of Jesus and saves us, justifies us, acquits us of the guilt of our sin by His blood, by His sacrifice, and then saves us, rescues us, delivers us from the wrath that sin is due. An amazing blessing from the hand of God. Now, the world doesn't understand forgiveness because the world does not understand how horrible sin is. The world has removed sin from its vocabulary, and so at the most now, sin becomes some illness, some disease, some mistake, some accident. It's not regarded as that which is against God Himself. But that's what sin is. Sin is against God. And it is our sin that separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "And yet God, who is rich in mercy, rich in love, extends His grace to bless us, to forgive us through the blood, through the death of His Son, as He calls upon us to respond, to obtain that." Now, having obtained our forgiveness from God, it compels us to forgive. This is a message to disciples, to Christians, is to remember that Jesus teaches us that we are to forgive our debtors. We are to forgive those who sin against us. In the model prayer, He said to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive others, God forgive us." And so the compelling reason for us to be forgiving is if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. In Matthew 6 and 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. God will not forgive me if I do not forgive you. You see that? Our forgiveness from God hinges upon the forgiveness that we execute, that we give to others. Our Jesus teaches us our forgiveness must be from the heart. Matthew 18 and 35. He says, so will the Lord do to each of you. And he talks about the ungrateful, unmerciful servant who would not forgive his fellow servant after his master had forgiven him a huge debt. And so in lack of mercy and compassion, he threw him into prison. But the master, seeing that lack of compassion, arrested that man, brought him back before him, and put him into punishment to the torturers until he should pay all that was due, which would never occur. And you see, that's Jesus' point. We cannot repay the debt we owe God. So we must be willing to forgive those who sin against us, because God is willing in His mercy and compassion to forgive us. And so He says, so my Heavenly Father also will do to each of you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. If I don't forgive from my heart, I won't be forgiven. It's not just enough to say I forgive, give a facade or a show of forgiveness. My forgiveness must be from my heart, from my mind, that I am all in on it, that I am devoted and committed to this release of the debt, if you please. Not pretense, not partial, not temporary, not probationary, but from the heart, unlimitedly so, without limits. Luke 17 and 4. Remember there in verse 3, it teaches us that if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Forgiving from the heart is limitless. It does not begin to judge a motive of an individual who comes and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. That's the words of Jesus. You see, that's what forgiveness looks like. God's love that compels us to show the same sort of love by forgiving those who sin against us without limit, from the heart, even as God has forgiven us. If we are brought to a greater appreciation of the forgiveness we have received, then we are in an opportune place to forgive others. To the degree that we do not appreciate our forgiveness, we are hindered from forgiving others. I think we find that to be so in the Scriptures. We've got to understand the depth of the forgiveness, the depth of the mercy, the depth of the blessing that we have in Jesus. And that compels us, that drives us to then forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness needs to be understood. The word means to send away. It means to release. As we noted in Matthew 18 and 35. Imagine one with a great debt. You cannot pay it. And the one to whom you owe the debt releases that debt. Obligates you no more. You are released. That's the word. In fact, it is the word that's used in 1 Corinthians 7 and 11 of a husband who sends away his wife. Now, he's not encouraging that in that passage. I'm just showing you that's the definition. The definition of forgive is to send away. There the husband sends away his wife. He says, husbands not to do it. He says, let the husband not send away his wife. So the idea of forgive is to send away. Same word that's translated there, that's used for forgive. God sends our sins away when He forgives us. Jesus of course, had the forgiving heart, didn't he? Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He had a forgiving heart, and he, in fact, forgave sinners who came to him in faith seeking forgiveness. Like the brother who says, I repent. I've sinned. I repent. Jesus forgave because he had a forgiving heart. He had a heart ready with compassion, ready with love, ready with mercy, ready to extend grace and favor. In Mark 2:5, when he saw the faith of those who let down the paralytic into his presence, when he saw their faith, how do you see faith? Because they were active. They were acting upon their trust that Jesus could help their friend, could heal their friend. Jesus healed him more than the flesh. He said, sons, your sins are forgiven you. I send away your sins. With a ready heart to forgive, God forgives when we come to Him in faith. There should be no quarrel about that. There should be no hesitancy in saying and understanding. On the one hand, we are to be people with forgiving hearts like Jesus, like the Father. And ready to extend that. God does that as they come to Him in faith. And so we're able to release. He releases that and we're able to follow His example and do the very same thing. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Same principle. You see, Luke 6:40 says, we are to be, the disciple is not greater than his master, but everyone, when he's perfectly trained, will be like his master. We want to be like Jesus. We want to forgive the way Jesus forgives. Jesus doesn't forgive by ignoring sin. He forgives by teaching about sin, by exhorting about sin, by urging a repentance of sin. Why? Because he has a forgiving heart. Because he wants to release. He doesn't want to hold that debt. He wants to see us freed of that debt. And so he exhorts, he urges, he teaches, he rebukes so that we can be convicted of our sin, repent and be forgiven of the sin. That's what we need to commit ourselves to. That's how we begin to understand and apply forgiveness. So let's look specifically at forgiveness. First of all, from this point, forgiveness acknowledges hurt has been caused. There's been hurt. There's hurt that's caused by sin. I think Jesus acknowledges that on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They are doing something. And that something that they are doing is hurting Jesus. Forgiveness acknowledges there's been hurt that sin has caused. Forgiveness does not ignore sin when it happens. It doesn't ignore the pain of sin when it occurs. Neither does forgiveness deny the release when the sinner comes with repentance. Forgiveness then is not defined by the hurt that sin causes. It knows that hurt is caused by sin, but forgiveness is not going to define itself by the hurt that is caused. Now what I mean by that is, you see, if we define our forgiveness by the hurt that is caused, then we begin to set down regulations and expectations that the one who's caused the hurt must meet before we forgive. Forgiveness is not, it knows there's hurt, but it does not define itself by the hurt. Rather, it defines itself by love. You see, love suffers long and is kind. Forgiveness will be defined by those attributes, not by self-defined attributes, because I've been hurt by someone's sin against me. And only then, when they do enough that I think they should do to remove the hurt, then I'll forgive them. No, that's not what Jesus says. It's not about you got some way to remedy the hurt you've done to me. No, it's that you come to Him in faith, in trust, repenting, no doubt. But you see, forgiveness is ready in mercy to extend itself, to give itself to the one who has sinned. And so in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, that verse follows up, continues by saying, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You see, love rejoices when sin repents, when the sinner repents, when the sinner seeks forgiveness through faith. Love rejoices because love is ready to forgive. So, sure, forgiveness knows that hurt has been caused by sin, but God's hurt by our sin, after all. That's what we need to ponder again. Don't we understand that when we sin, we are hurting God? Don't we know that when we ignore His will, that is hurtful to God? When we violate His Word that's intended for our holiness, our righteousness, for those things that bring us and keep us in His fellowship, when we ignore those, when we lay those aside, when we're not interested in that, when we yield to temptation, that we hurt our Heavenly Father? That's what sin does to Him, to God. Sin's against Him. Adam and Eve hid in the garden in Genesis 3 after their sin. God said, Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? It was a direct insult to God. A lack of respect for God. A lack of trust in God. When they ate that fruit, when we sin, we do the same thing. And yet God is ready to forgive us that. He's ready to send that away, to hold that against us no longer. But sin, absolutely, hurts God. And yet that magnifies the depth of His forgiveness. The fact that God is hurt by our sin, and yet God fully and completely sends our sin away, forgives us our sin through faith in Christ. Mark 3 and verse 5 describes the hurt that sin causes God. They were lying in wait to try to accuse Jesus because on the Sabbath day they brought into Him a man with a withered hand and they wanted to see what He was going to do so they'd have something to charge Him with. And in the course of the discussion, it says, and the events there, it says, when He had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He is angered and He is grieved by sin. That's God. God is angered when we sin. God is grieved when we sin. We're taught not to grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. We grieve the Godhead. We reproach the Godhead. We hurt God Himself when we sin. And yet, still, as His enemy, still, He loved us to send His Son to give us a remedy for our sin. Still, you see. And that then becomes a pattern for you and me. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working. James 5 and 16. You see, like God, sin hurts. But like God, we forgive. We have a heart ready to forgive. And we release the debt as the debtor comes to God in faith. Comes to God for His forgiveness. Says, I repent. Changes the heart. Changes the life. You see, there's forgiveness from God. Clearly, there must be forgiveness from us. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Forgiveness is about covering a soul or saving a soul from death. It's about turning the sinner back to the way of righteousness, the way of truth. Though sin hurts, the tragic hurt is not to go to God for His forgiveness, or when one does go to God for His forgiveness, a refusal to forgive on our part. For then, we will not be forgiven. Let's look again at forgiveness. It releases the offender, like Jesus. Father, forgive them. Well, they were actually released when they came to God in faith, convicted of their sin and said, "What shall we do?" And they were told to repent and be baptized in Acts 2, 37 and 38. Sinners were forgiven. Even the ones who murdered Jesus were forgiven. And so here is that ready heart, not to be bribed, not cajoled, not manipulated, but releasing eagerly to restore the damage done by sin. Matthew 18, you see, that was the master was moved by compassion. When someone comes to us and says, "Please forgive me. Please release this debt I have against you because I have harmed you. I have hurt you." There is a temptation to retaliate. There's a temptation to be defensive. There's a temptation to place demands that we have no right or business placing. What rather we must develop is this heart that's moved with compassion. As in Matthew 18, when the servant fell down before him and saying, "Master, have mercy. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." The master was owed a debt that the man could never repay. And he asked for patience to pay it back. The master knew the man wasn't going to be able to pay it back. I mean, the sum that is given there, 10,000 talents, is an overwhelming amount of money. But the master was moved with compassion and released him, forgave him the debt. See, when someone approaches us and says, "I sinned against you, please forgive me," we must be moved with compassion for them. Because you see, God has had compassion for us. God has been moved with compassion when we owed a debt to Him we could never pay back. Never pay back. And He made it so that we could be redeemed, forgiven of our sins. So, naturally, He expects us to do the same. It's only right and proper that if your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you gained your brother. If he hears you, that means, you see, you're ready to forgive him. You're not going to tell him his fault so you can belittle him. You can separate yourself from him. You want to forgive him. You want him to be forgiven. You want him to be restored to fellowship with God so that it does no longer stand between you and him as well. We need to be eager to restore the damage done by sin. That's what forgiveness is. See, many will not be forgiven because they don't forgive others. I mean, that's the tragedy. Is there'll be those who will not be forgiven and have mercy because they were unmerciful. They did not extend it themselves. We go, again, Matthew 18 is the passage. The servant is forgiven this huge debt and he goes to a fellow servant who owed a much smaller amount relatively, but of course it was again something that the servant couldn't repay. Rather than showing mercy, threw him into prison and said, "You're going to pay me back. You're going to stay there until you do." And it grieved the other servants. They knew the mercy the man had received, and yet they saw in action his unwillingness to be merciful to his fellow servant. God sees when we are unwilling to be merciful and compassionately forgiving to one another after He forgives us. He sees that. And it grieves Him. And He assures us that if we act that way, we will not obtain forgiveness. We, for lack of forgiving, will not be forgiven. That is our compelling reason, as we said a minute ago. And so forgiveness lets go of resentment. See, another attribute, as we look at forgiveness, here's another thing that it does. It releases, it does not hold on to the bitterness and resentment that sin against us generates and can generate, can tempt us to allow to grow within us. It should not. We've got to fight against that and not yield to that temptation. And forgiveness helps to accomplish a release and not hold on to such things. Romans 12, 19-21, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. When someone wrongs you and someone treats you evil when you do good things," he says, "you still live peaceably with all men and do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath," that is to God's wrath, "for it's written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Our ability to forgive others is a statement implying that we are letting God deal with sinners, because we're going to forgive. And of course, God says that He forgives. When the sinner repents, He forgives. And we rejoice in that. We don't hold a resentment. Forgiveness does not look for an opportunity to take vengeance. That's not forgiveness. It is to seek vengeance, seek retribution. No, forgiveness even does good to its enemies. It does good to its enemies. The law of Moses talks about that. It talks about treating others the way you want to be treated. Exodus 23, Matthew 5. Forgiveness. When someone says, "Please forgive me," the message from God's Word is we forgive it and we do not meditate a revenge. We do not meditate upon it. We don't go back and rehearse and rehash when... Aren't you glad that when God forgave you your sins and that He doesn't rehash those to you? He doesn't bring those back up to you? Aren't you glad of that? Now, what's the measure of our forgiveness if we say we forgive, but we rehearse those past sins to the person we say we forgive? But we're going to bring those back up. We're going to make sure that defines that person from this moment forward. We're thankful God doesn't do that with us. Now, do you think He's going to be pleased if we do that to each other? And if we do that to each other, do you think we're going to be brought into the eternal mansions? Do you think He's going to forgive us? When that's the type of... That's not following His pattern of forgiveness. No, that's something less noble. Something less than what God desires. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." The word "overlook" there means to take away or pass over. It doesn't mean to tolerate. It says to take away. His glory is to take away a transgression, rather than let the sin against him consume him in anger, but rather to position himself so that it can be forgiven. God wants us to position ourselves with each other so that we are anxious and ready and eager to forgive, not to hold a resentment, a bitterness of heart. You see, Joseph, great example of that. His brother sold him into slavery, lied about it to their father. His father thought he was dead. And after the father dies, they're afraid that he's going to take vengeance upon them, retribution. He didn't. There's a wonderful scene there of the reconciliation of Joseph and his brothers, and a reminder that of the good blessing of forgiveness and mercy passage says Joseph wept. He said, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers. They begged for his forgiveness. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. He wept. He gladly gave forgiveness to them. He had reason to be bitter, but he chose rather the way of God. He chose rather faith and forgiveness. Unwillingness to forgive is the fruit of bitterness and a resentful hard heart. Really, an unwillingness to forgive marks that we have a hard heart. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice clamoring be put away from you with all. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, if we're going to understand forgiveness, we've got to understand it lets go. It is not defined by these sinful attributes of bitterness and malice, resentfulness. It hurts. God, Jesus hurt on the cross, but His forgiveness was greater. His love was greater than the hurt. And so ours must be. Forgiveness is an act of grace. Forgiveness is not deserved. When you repent and are baptized, you don't deserve to be forgiven. It's an act of grace on God's part to forgive. You haven't earned the right to be forgiven. When we sin against someone and we ask for their forgiveness, they're extending favor to us when they forgive us. It's not something that they owe. God doesn't owe us forgiveness. We can't earn it. You see, it's not deserved. It's freely offered. It's grace. Forgiveness is that way. It doesn't rejoice. Because it's an act of grace, it doesn't take pleasure in sin. That's the message over and over in the Word of God. So it understands we all deserve death because of our own sin. And so it's happy, ready, anxious, eager to send away, to forgive the debt, the transgressions that have been committed. It is an act of love and grace, even as God has acted in love and grace and mercy toward us. Forgiveness. The world doesn't know what forgiveness looks like. The world doesn't understand how horrible sin is. I wouldn't expect the world to understand forgiveness. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God's forgiveness is the removal of the burden of sin. Release of that burden and rest comes in its place. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. God's forgiveness compels us to follow Him, to learn of Him, to follow His will, to understand that life is not about ourselves, it's about Him. We come to Him for forgiveness, but then we want to live our own way. No, when we come to Him for forgiveness, then we live His way. That's why I say the world doesn't understand that. The world wants to believe in a forgiveness that lets it go and then you just go on and basically do what you desire. God's forgiveness says, come to me, I'll give you rest, but you got to learn of me. You got to follow me. Because I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's no other place to go. There's no other place to learn from and to follow to find rest for your soul than Jesus. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a responsibility to the forgiveness that God offers us. It's the responsibility of faith. Trusting Him that He will release our sin because we rely upon Him because of the sacrifice of His Son. And so we obey Him willingly from our heart to confess our faith, repent of our sin, and be baptized to be forgiven. The world doesn't understand that, but it's God's measure. It's God's plan of forgiveness. We know what forgiveness is. We've experienced it in Jesus. And it's to be from our heart, out of mercy. It's an action of release, granting redemption, a restoration of those things that were broken, torn apart by sin. If you're not a Christian, you need to be forgiven of your sin this morning. We urge you this morning to repent, to confess your faith, and be baptized, to be forgiven. God is ready and anxious to forgive you. If you're a Christian and you've sinned in your life, then God urges you and me in sin to come back to Him, to repent, to confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Because you see, in that repentant sinner, God has said, "I will forgive." And that forgiveness is ready. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
I hear.